This is WordPress Weekly, your source for the latest news, plugins, and interviews with influential leaders in the WordPress community. Here's your hosts, Jeff Chandler and Marcus Couch.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 219 of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, December 30th, 2015. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by Marcus Couch. Marcus, ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I hope you had a Merry Christmas and a great holiday. And we're coming up here on New Year's Eve and a lot of new things in store for WordPress in 2016. But we are here today to finish up our annual wrap up, part two of the year that was in WordPress 2015.
Yeah. So last week we started with January and ended up at June. So in this episode, we're going to start with July and work our way towards where we are currently, current day news.
That's right.
We got a heck of a lot of stuff to discuss. July was a busy month, one of the more busier months of the news cycle, WordPress news cycle. And we'll start things off by Lasso. You remember Lasso? That used to be the front-end editor by Nick Haskins. Well, it added a really cool feature back in early July where you could do real-time revision restoring to WordPress. And those of you who have listened to earlier episodes when we covered this on the show will know that I was a big fan, still am a big fan, of the interface that Nick used to switch between revisions of posts, because it was just a simple slider with times, and you could slide it back and forth and see the changes happen in real time. Where, in contrast to the WordPress way of switching revisions, you have, it's sort of like a code editor where you could see, it's like a div change where you could see things that have been changed in green versus things that haven't been changed in red, or you could see differences that way. I just prefer the much simpler and more real-time effect of the interface that Nick created versus the one in WordPress. Whether that is a new user experience that millions of people would enjoy over what we have now, I'm not sure. But I know one thing, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was cool. You had that little tiny slider that just came up within the post editor where you could just sort of rewind to something else, to, you know, to your previous iterations of the post. And I thought it was a really cool tool.
And, you know, I don't know if anybody remembers, but back in early July, Automattic actually overhauled the VideoPress video player that they have. It's sort of a video hosting service, but they also have created their own player. And they actually open sourced the technologies that are used to build it. So they completely revamped the editor, made the embedding the videos easier. A couple of other things, they increased the speed of the player and open source some of the different libraries that they used to create it. So, you know, for anyone out there who may have forgotten about VideoPress, it's still around. And the things that power VideoPress are actually open source. So I guess you could put all that together. You could create your own VideoPress if you wanted to.
Yeah, and I wonder if one of the things that you noted back in July when this was announced, one of the things that I remember you noting was that you couldn't embed a video press natively within WordPress with the O-embed feature, which seemed a little odd.
It did seem odd at the time. However, that has been rectified, and if you try and paste the link of a video press video in WordPress today in the visual editor, it should work.
Good.
So that has been changed.
Glad to see they worked that out.
And what else do we have happen? Well, there was a new proposal on Track that aimed at removing post formats from WordPress. And this proposal was by Morten Rand Hendrickson, who created a new Track ticket and suggested a way for either post formats to be removed or how to make them more usable. And as far as I can tell, not much traction was given to the ticket. There was some discussion at the time as to what to do, but so far there hasn't been a change or a direction that they're going to be going with post format. So as far as I can tell, WordPress is going to continue to have post format support, And it's just going to be one of those things that is in WordPress, but could really use some more polish because they were added to WordPress and then that was it.
Well, I use it for my blog actually that determines which format it's going to be, whether video, audio, blog post, whatever. And it works wonderfully. I mean, it knows if it's a video, not even to display a featured image, to display the thumbnail of the video. And if they hit play on that featured image / video thumbnail, then it starts to play right there in a nice thick box. So, I don't know why you would want to do that. Maybe he's just not seeing it from the other side.
So I don't know. But it would be nice at some point if some more effort, maybe whether it's to the UI or exposing post formats better, or maybe making them clearer to users. It would be nice to see a little more effort towards that direction. But I don't know. You know, don't get me started on post formats. I don't want to go down that road.
Okay.
Let's see. Stack Exchange, it's a popular website where people gather and discuss things, and it's like a question and answer site. Well, they used to run their blog on WordPress, but they ended up ditching it for Jekyll. And for those who don't know, Jekyll is a static HTML, static website generator, so that you don't have to worry about dynamic content or page loads or things of that nature. So there's improved performance and all kinds of things like that. Jekyll is also open source. It has a strong community, and it's not WordPress or PHP. So there's a lot of speed and performance gains to be had by using Jekyll. And some thought, well, I wonder if there's a mass migration afoot from WordPress to something like Jekyll, or even maybe some of these other static site generators that are out there. But we have not seen that come to pass.
Yeah, I don't see this as a big deal, really. I mean, it's nice to read into it, but who cares, really, what they're using? It doesn't make a difference. If they don't want to use WordPress, they want to go with Jekyll, let them go with Jekyll. Want to go with Drupal, want to go with Joomla, be my guest. You'll be back.
How about another static site generator called Hyde? I wonder if you could do that. So you can run Jekyll, migrate to Hyde. I don't know. Throw a little pun in there. And then one of the larger stories of the year, I'd say in my top three, is that Chris Pearson, the owner and operator of Thesis.com and the Thesis WordPress theme, lost his cyber squatting case against Automattic. Now, going back to July, there was this whole big thing about Matt Mulloy had acquired the Thesis.com domain, and if you visited the domain, it redirected to Themeshaper.com, and a lot of people were wondering, well, how in the world did he acquire that domain? And considering the it's not violent, but turbulent. The turbulent past between Matt Mulloway and Chris Pearson back in 2010, revolving around the GPL and things of that nature, some would question why he would have anything to do with Chris Pearson through the domain. And we learned that and went through this whole process of domain dispute resolution, and Chris Pearson tried to get the domain back through the dispute process. They turned him down. There was some controversy in the findings of the UDRP panel resolution. And after that, there was some trademark disputes that happened because of this. And all in all, after all this was said and done, Pearson ended up losing the cyber squatting case, which means he lost the domain and Matt will be able to retain ownership of it. However, when it comes to the Thesis trademarks and some of the other things that have been afoot, I've kept an eye on it. And so far, August is the last time either party exchanged communication through the trademark and approval process board, trademark appeals process board. So there hasn't been much to that, but Pearson will not be able to obtain the Thesis.com domain.
Yeah, at the time, you know, there were people on both sides of this, both the purists in terms of the domain and then the Matt haters who just thought it was a butthole move. So it's still unsolved. It's still kind of, we don't really know the motivation behind any of that. And I don't know if we ever will.
And Envato, that's a big time marketplace website. They have all kinds of different marketplaces like Theme Forest, Audio Jungle. I don't know if they still have Audio Jungle. I think they do.
Oh, yeah.
Code Canyon and a few others. But they were targeted by a huge denial of service attack. And in fact, their sites are taken offline to the point where WordPress theme authors were reporting major decline in sales, which makes sense because if the site's offline, you can't make a purchase. People are going to be losing money. And quite a few authors lost some money during that time, during that downtime. So,
yeah, it's a shame, of course, but I mean, that's the way it goes. It's going to affect everybody. I'm surprised Amazon hasn't been hit with that stuff yet.
And let's see, round out the second half of July, the first ever 24-hour conference devoted to the Genesis framework took place later that month. And, you know, for the longest time, the Genesis framework kind of has its own cottage industry. And I think it was a long time coming, sort of maybe overdue, that it had its conference dedicated to the framework. And it was online, so it was virtual. And from what I remember, it was a hit. Quite a few people did sessions throughout the two-day period of the conference. And I bet they'll probably have it again in 2016. So congrats on them for the initial idea and successfully going through with it. And, yeah, it'll probably come around again, probably around the same time next year.
I'd like to see a talk about why I should go back to Genesis. You know, I've been a Genesis supporter since the Studio Press days, way back when. And I don't know. I haven't used it in about a year. I don't know why. Maybe they just haven't come out with anything appealing, or maybe it's just third party stuff that I've got to maybe spend extra money on that I didn't want to. I'm not sure, but I used to be big into Genesis and Hooks and stuff like that. Maybe I should go back and maybe look at some of the archives of this conference.
Well, Nick Haskins, our buddy, he received a cease and desist letter for violating the LassoSoft trademarks. Apparently, there are other companies out there before him who registered and used Lasso. Of course, we have LassoSoft. So you can't come out with a WordPress front-end editor and name it Lasso because it's too similar to LassoSoft. So instead of fighting it or going through court, Nick went through the process of renaming his entire business, and or at least renaming that particular product, and that's when he renamed it to Editus, however you want to pronounce it, but that's what Lasso was renamed to. So it's a little bit of a lesson there with trademarks. With if you're coming up with a name, if you're a WordPress plugin author, you're getting into business, you want to do a commercial plugin, do your due diligence, whether it's Google searches or through the trademark, at least through the United States Trademark Service, patents and trademarks, and just see if the name is taken or is registered within the board, because this is what could happen to you if you don't do your research. You could end up having one day to change your entire business name.
And that's a pain. So, yeah, do your due diligence and make sure that the thing that you want to name it to is not trademarked. Or I'm wondering how many Star Wars named plugins were violating trademark and things.
I don't know. we also found out at the end of July that Philadelphia, PA was going to host the WordCamp US in this December, past December, earlier this month, around the 4th and the 6th. So there were six host cities that were chosen to possibly host the event. And by the end of the month, we found out there was going to be Philadelphia. And
shockingly, we found out.
Yeah, shockingly, found, yeah, because of the weather and the time of year. And
it turns out, global warming came through for us.
Either that or El Nino, one or the other. But it actually turned out to be a great event, and the weather was great. It was like 40s and 50s. It was sunny. I wonder if the weather will play a little deja vu next year. I hope so, because I plan on attending.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's going to be great. I can't wait to split a steak sandwich with you.
And let's see, we had episode 200 of WordPress Weekly, Marcus. Yeah. Bit of a milestone for us at the end of July, the big 200. And if I remember correctly, I think, yeah, we had a round table of people on to discuss sort of the history of the show. So we had a bit of a round table of some of the original members that helped get this show off the ground. And we talked about a number of things, such as Kim Parcells passing. And, you know, Kim was a big part of this show at one time. And we also discussed a little bit of the history of WordPress or WordPress Weekly and a couple of other things. So I had a good time on this show. 200.
Yep, that was a huge milestone.
And Marcus, in August, what's the first thing that happened in August?
The WordPress plugin directory surpassed 1 billion. I'm doing that with my Dr. Evil.
Right,
you have 1 to. It's billion
like required.
Total downloads, which is awesome because I am, you know, everybody knows I'm the plugin directory junkie. I don't check the news. I check the repository and what came out that day while I was sleeping. And that's great. 1 billion. I mean, to me, that's much more impressive than apps in the iTunes store. You know, that, to me, that's some real live in there in terms of a platform and software that people have their hands around.
Yeah, I mean, just think of that. I mean, I know some people poo-poo download numbers, but I mean, just in total aggregate, 1 billion across the entire directory, that's a milestone to me. I don't care how you look at it.
Yeah, so how many, I mean, if you take that number, and how many installations do they say that there are? 70 million, something like that?
I don't know, millions.
I mean, how many plugins is that? Average per person per install. That's a lot.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, and, you know, it's interesting. Somebody, I saw somebody asking the other day where they can get data on the average size of a WordPress database or the average number of plugins used across sites on the web. And, you know, because there's no Nielsen survey or anything like that that gets this type of data, we don't know. We don't know what the average number of plugins are across, you know, 1,000 or 1,000,000 different sites. I wonder if there's some company out there that could help run the survey or something to where people would be able to submit that information to them. Maybe we can get some of this data in aggregate.
Yeah, we're looking at you, GoDaddy and WP Engine. What's up? Well,
I guess that would be a start.
Yeah, they know.
So in August, WordPress 4.3 named Billy after Billie Holiday, famous jazz singer, was released to the public. This is a big-time release that contained menus in the customizer, so now you can add and edit, manipulate menus right there in the customizer. It's no longer a separate process, separate pane in the admin experience. There was strong passwords by default, and Marcus, we talked about this a good bit around this time where Mark Jakewith led the effort to improve the way passwords are chosen and changed in WordPress. So now it uses, we used to think the passwords generated in WordPress were strong before, but now they're like, they're really strong. I mean, they're actually strong.
They're crazy. Yeah.
For a different interface. And there's a lot of different things added to make passwords more secure. Like, for example, WordPress will no longer email passwords. Email passwords in plain text, which I think it did before, and the password reset links expire after 24 hours. So, no, it probably didn't do it in plain text, but WordPress will no longer email passwords, period. So
that's right, yeah.
So the password will never be exchanged via email, which is a security enhancement in and of itself. And then there is the addition of site icons. Now, a site icon are sort of the new age version of a fav icon. So instead of this little 16 by 16 pixel image you have that represents your site, that we used to do in the late 90s. Now we have these big 512 by 512 sized icons that represent our site across a myriad of different browsers, tablets, little app icons. And now WordPress by default, if you install a new theme or install a new WordPress site, you go into the customizer, you select your site icon, it'll automatically be saved, and that'll be the icon used across all those different browsers.
Yeah, it's nice. And it even it even works, like, say if you're saving something to a home screen, that's, you know, in iOS at least, it will save that little icon as kind of the app poster, whatever you want to call it, app icon.
It'll make your site look like an app, and when you press on it, it'll automatically load your site. So kind of in a weird way, it's kind of like an app. I mean, it's not a native app experience, but it kind of looks and works that way.
Yeah, well, as we all get better at the REST API, we'll figure that out.
4.3 also added text patterns, the quick link toolbar, some word count changes, the quick link preview toolbar, some cleanup in the admin bar, and there's a lot of other noteworthy changes, but that was a big release, so congrats on WordPress 4.3 and Constantine Oberlin, who led that release cycle. It was just a great release overall. And then, speaking of site icons, the theme review team later that month began phasing out fave icon support in favor of site icons, which makes total sense.
Mm-hmm.
Now that site icons are a native feature in WordPress, it doesn't make sense to continue supporting fave icons.
I'm going to propose something that, you know, as we go through this review and we go through, you know, the different iterations and we talk about what each version had, wouldn't it be great to have a shirt, like some swag for each release that comes out?
Yes and no. I mean, I guess people would buy it because it would obviously be limited edition until the next release, which would be 3 or 4 months away from whenever that happens. But you know, it could cost quite a bit of money having to get that swag reprinted every 4 months.
Limited run, maybe, but that would be fun to have the actual person actually that was it named after on the shirt too.
Right. Or maybe even a shirt, like a contrib shirt. So like on the front or the back, you have a list of all the usernames who contributed to that release.
Oh, there you go.
There you go. I mean, that would be pretty cool, I think.
Yeah. All right, people, get on it. I get 15%.
And then, like, if your name is on that list or you contributed to that release, somehow your name would be bolded and it shows up that way on the shirt or the swag. But, well, actually, no, because then you would have to – it would be – that would cost too much money because you'd have to have unique swag for each individual. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that wouldn't work out.
Just give them a white pen.
There you go. Yeah, something like a big bold highlighter.
Highlight it.
So that takes us into the month of December, where it was a turbulent couple of weeks for me in the tavern. And when it comes to comments, I actually created a comment moderation policy in order to provide sort of a level playing field, a list of expectations that, from my perspective and to our readers, and kind of gives people a baseline as to how I moderate comments on the tavern. And I also added some information about how people could report comments. Now, Epoch, or Epic, however you want to say it, has this report comment feature. So if there's a little button, and if you highlight over the comment, you'll see a little report button. And if a certain number of people report the comment, it'll automatically go into moderation. So I added that information. You know, to this day, nobody has reported – nobody has hit that button enough.
Really?
Do they
know that it's there?
I mean, it's there. I mean, I think one of the issues, and I told the developers of Epoch this, is they made a change to where the report button is hidden unless you hover over a comment. And I think that's one of the reasons why a lot of people are not hitting the button.
Hmm. Well, I'm going to have to do that. I'm just going to have to start ejecting people at random. See what happens.
So we did the moderation policy. And then after that, I wrote about a bug in Chrome 45, which caused the WordPress admin menu to break. So several people reported that there's an issue in Chrome that breaks the WordPress admin menu. So if you, depending on where you move your mouse cursor, the left side admin menu, the items would get rearranged and stacked on top of each other. They would
jump.
Yeah, they would jump around. And a lot of people thought that it was a bug in WordPress. When it happens to be nodes in Chrome. So I wrote about this issue and came up with a fix that had something to do with this thing called slimming paint. which was an enabled by default in Chrome 45. And if you disabled it, it actually fixed the issue for a lot of people. So I included directions on how to fix it. Eventually, the Chrome team fixed the issue in the browser. But this post was actually the third most popular post read on the Tavern this year.
Right?
Yeah, because so many people use Chrome and saw that and was Googling issues with Chrome or admin menu messed up, and they actually happened to come across this post. So I totally did not expect that to happen. I didn't write this post for, I didn't have SEO in mind or didn't think it would gain a lot of traffic. I was doing it because it was news and I knew it was going to help people and people were experiencing an issue and there's a fix for it. But I didn't think it would be the third most popular post on the Tavern throughout the year.
It is because it's good content and it was relevant and it was timely. And that's why things rank and get traffic. So that's a good lesson for anybody out there that's blogging or posting articles or stories. If you can strike while the iron's hot and address a problem and solve an issue for somebody, you're going to rank highly.
Right. And the Chrome, this post is actually a good example of what I call the blogging lottery. And that is, I write about a lot of different stories all year long, but it just so happens that one I publish is either at the right time or it's about the right thing or it's a combination of the fact, and it'll either go viral a little bit or gain in popularity. And this just happened to me, one of those posts where I hit the blogging lottery. And I've experienced this before, but and I know there's probably techniques and things we can get into on how you can replicate this, but I don't want to try and replicate this every time. I just want to write stuff. And if it happens to go viral, congratulations. And this just happened to be one of those posts.
Yep. That was good work on your part. It actually helped guide me through the issue myself because I'm a Chrome user.
So the other big part of the story of the year was that Jeff Yablon, who we mentioned earlier in the year when he was involved in a court case with the WordPress Foundation. Well, in September, they settled out of court. So that means that Jeff Yablon has a series of obligations that he had to meet no later than October 15th, which involved ceasing any use of the WordPress name, logos, trademarks, any other name confused or similar to WordPress. And there was also a slew of other things that he had to abide by. And there was also some obligations that the WordPress Foundation had to abide by. All in all, he's not going to be able to violate the domain trademark policy anymore. And the case is over with. And that's that. But it was nice to see it come to an end instead of it just dragging through and dragging through. And, you know, a lot of people thought that this was going to be the end result anyways. But, I mean, I had to keep reporting on it. It was newsworthy because this guy just thought he had an out. He thought he had a loophole, or he thought he knew the way things worked that would allow him to get through this case. But it never really got to the part where they both get involved in actual court where they actually show up. So they settled out of court and didn't even get that far. And, the WordPress, he thinks he didn't lose and that WordPress didn't win, but if you settle out of court, I guess just leave it that way. I mean,
he lost.
As far as I'm concerned, he lost because he's not able to use the domain that he was using before and he has to abide by all these obligations. So, you know, it's my opinion that he lost.
Yeah, I would second that. It wasn't your typical thing where it was just somebody who used WordPress. It was kind of the defiance that made this story interesting.
Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah, the defiance and saying, well, you know, I don't care. There's a loophole. You can't do this. You can't say this. You can't enforce this. You're going above and beyond your means. And, well, Yablon was wrong on all those counts, apparently.
Indeed he was.
So that brings us to some sad news, which happened at the end of September. What is that, Marcus?
It was the unfortunate passing of the great Alex King, the founder of CrowdFavorite and one of the early contributors to WordPress and some of the favorite plugins of mine. And and pretty decent friend. So I was pretty sad about that.
Yeah, ended up dying of colon cancer, and we miss him. And, you know, one of the coolest things that happened this year, at least, you know, in my opinion, is that I created this post earlier this month, and I said I have an idea. It might have been the end of November, but I had this post about what if Matt Mulligan, the State of the Word, which is going to be watched by, who knows, thousands if not millions of people eventually, what if he did a slide that remembered the people we've lost in the WordPress community this year? And I think some people got on that and said, yeah, it'd be a great idea. It's just a slide. Well, Matt actually did one better, and he brought their names up, and before he got into the content of a State of the Word presentation, he held a moment of silence for the people that were lost, including Alex and Kim, and you could hear a pin drop, because I was watching the live stream. I could hear a pin drop during that moment of silence, which is the way it should be, and I was incredibly happy that Matt did that. I mean, that was a huge gesture on his part.
Yeah, that was classy, and I hope that that's a trend that continues.
So we found the GoDaddy, early October, big, huge web hosting company. They have a lot of information at their disposal, and they're one of the top WordPress hosting companies out there in terms of number of customers. Well, they released something called the Hot 100. So if you visit their particular website, you can see the top 100 active themes and active plugins used across their network. So it looks like a billboard top 100. And you can see the positions, themes, and plugins they're in. It also lets you know whether or not they're GPL. There's links to them on the plugin page if they have them. And it's just kind of a cool way of monitoring popularity of certain things over, at least as it pertains to GoDaddy, which is a huge hosting company, a huge network, and is at least you can see a little bit of a representation of how popular a particular item is, which may or may not correlate to popularity on other web hosting companies on their networks. But just it's nice to have as a member of the outside, it's nice to have inside info to this activity.
And I do believe that it was your idea.
Well, I wasn't going to say anything, but I kind of
told them flat out on the show.
Yeah, yes, I did. I said, hey, you know, you got all this data. Why don't you do something with it? And at the same time, when you're helping yourself, help us and let us see the same data. And well, that's what they did with the Hot 100. So just a cool site. If you haven't seen it yet.
Yes, definitely. And it's a good thing for would-be plugin developers too, to see what's trending and what's up or down, or, you know, what's going on in terms of usage, and maybe come up with a better solution because we're dying for it.
And at the beginning of October, there was a new project that was dedicated to benchmarking Jetpack. You know, a lot of people want to know, how fast is Jetpack, or how slow is Jetpack? Is it bloated? Does it hamper site performance? If so, how much? What happens if this module is disabled? What about this module? And there is a gentleman by the name of Runis Luisa, and he had a project called Measure Jetpack, and he was going to use his students and create like a project out of it and actually do an in-depth, thorough, scientific, you know, benchmarking process on Jetpack with all the modules. And it's been a few months, and I just recently contacted him to find out what the status of the project is, but I haven't heard anything in terms of updates, and I wonder if this is actually going to come to fruition at all.
I don't know, but it would certainly silence the critics that are vehemently opposed to using Jetpack because they think it's some weighted down pack and not something that's supposed to propel them and make them go faster. So I would be very interested to see this come to fruition, just so that we could finally put those skeptics to rest.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the primary reasons I like to see it. And on top of it, it's not sponsored by Automatic. There's nobody, you know, there's nobody involved there that would be part of the benchmarking process. So I think his benchmarks would be as good as anyone else's. And even if it doesn't come through, if somebody out there has the time and who knows, I don't know about money, but has the time and the scientific know-how to put a good benchmark test bed together, you'd be highly referenced if you came out with a thorough benchmarking of Jetpack. We need like something like that in the community. We need that.
Like a Jetpack analytics, right?
Something to that effect. Sweet. But just like a post that details milliseconds charge, you know, all the good stuff that you see in like a Tom's Hardware article, except we're talking about Jetpack and modules and stuff.
Right, exactly.
So let's see. And we found out in October that Anissa Ferreira was awarded the Kim Parcell Memorial Scholarship. So this scholarship, what this does is it encourages women to contribute to WordPress. And this pays for the lodging and travel for one person per year to travel to WordCamp US. And although Anissa won the scholarship, I found out that she was not able to make it to WordCamp US this year due to her visa being denied. I don't know if that was due to the fact that she just didn't have enough time because WordCamp US was announced in July or what have you. But now that WordCamp Philadelphia is going to be held in the same spot at the same time next year, tickets have already been on sale. I hope that she's going through the visa process already and she'll be able to make it to the 2016 version of the event using the scholarship. Because that's a bummer that she got awarded that and was not able to take advantage of it.
Yeah, and that's something maybe the planning committee might have considered as well, so that someone could take advantage of that. But that is a shame, and hopefully she'll be in attendance next year, along with another recipient.
Oh, yeah. So we could do two in 1 year. That would be cool. So we talked about in the last sort of review how many crowdfunding campaigns didn't really succeed. They sort of blundered. Well, VersionPress raised $400,000 in seed funding in October, which, puts the crowdfunding stuff to pasture. They didn't need that money. They have $400K now. But that's because they kept on going on. They really believed in their product, and they finally got around some investors that also believed in their product and gave them some insight and was able to nab some funding. So congrats to VersionPress and the guys behind it for keeping on, because their determination is paying off, sort of literally.
Yeah, and that's still not a lot of money.
It's not a lot of money, but for them and what they're doing and where they live, I think it's I don't know if it's the Czech Republic, but it's somewhere over there on the other side of the world. It was enough for them, and it was enough to at least get a lot of the development. It's just two people working on VersionPress, so it was a lot of development time and money and some insight. But so it works out for them. It'll at least put VersionPress to the next level.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, and I'm still I don't know what they've come out with to date, but that was definitely something cool to try when they had it going. So I'm looking forward to it.
And speaking of, successful crowdfunding campaigns, we have one next, don't we, Marcus?
That's correct. That was the crowdfunding campaign for, I think he raised almost $18,000 to develop a RESTful WP CLI. And that was Daniel Bachhuber. And I'm not sure, I don't remember the whole details about that, but that's one part of the REST API that I still haven't gotten into.
Yeah,
Like he got over 21,000.
Yeah, I mean, he asked for 17.5 and the WordPress community said, oh no, here's 21.
Actually, it's 30, almost 33,000. I just clicked on his link.
Oh, wow. I did not know it was that high.
Nice. 107 backers. That's pretty respectable.
Which just goes to show you, I mean, when they see something like this, it's something that will affect a lot of developers. He's willing to put the time in to develop this. And he's got some backing. He's known throughout the WordPress community. And it just sort of was the perfect storm of what it takes sometimes to have a successful crowdfunding campaign.
You just got to document what it is that you're going to do.
And clear. He did that.
He got what he asked for.
So congrats to Daniel, man. That's quite the chunk of change he got. I mean, that's got to be an awesome feeling to ask for a certain amount. And the people say, oh, no, what you're doing, that's so awesome. Here's more money.
Well, it is nice. I mean,
it's definitely a validation of that. Whatever it is you're doing is highly wanted.
Yeah. And you wonder if that's going to lead to trending in terms of people starting to get on the high side of their Kickstarter campaigns and their crowdfunding campaigns, as far as what they want. I don't know. The model, the crowdfunding model in WordPress has not yet been perfected. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, and I don't know if it can be. There are crowdfunding campaigns for this, that, and the other, for plugins, for themes, for specific people and specific situations, and they're all unique enough, and they all require. I mean, there's so many factors that go into, you know, a successful campaign, that I don't know if there's a technique that could be perfected to where there are things you could do to increase your odds of it being successful, but I don't think there's a way where you can guarantee success.
No, I don't either. And even with the broad coverage of things on the Tavern that you've given them in terms of crowdfunding campaigns, there are some that succeed and some that don't, even with extended media coverage. So
obviously the people have the last word with their wallets to determine whether it's worth their value or not.
Yeah. So it's all about the communication. So I'd be curious. I'm going to keep my eye on a couple new campaigns as they come around and make sure that, maybe kind of lay my own bet as far as, okay, well, they didn't communicate X, Y, and Z. So I'm guessing they will fall short by X amount or something like that. We'll see.
So we found out in November that for the first time, a quarter of the top 10 million websites ranked by Alexa use WordPress, which gave WordPress that 25% number we're always quoting by W3Techs. So that was a great milestone. That was something that was paraded around. And I think WordPress can be proud of that. And it'll be interesting to see at this point next year how high it is. It could be 26, 27. Who knows? It could be 28. It's not going to be 30 or 50, but... who knows? What do I know? WordPress keeps growing.
And it also subsequently made the top 80% of those who love to comment spam.
How about that? I don't know what you're saying there, Marcus, but...
I'm just saying. I've actually... it's pretty funny. On a side note, I've been installing a couple of stage sites, and I don't know how they find me. But even on a stage site with no index in Google, I still get these fun little comments.
That's interesting, man. They're following you.
Yeah.
Well, in November, we learned that WP Remote, which is a popular sort of remote administration service that was created by HumanMade, was up for sale. So we found out that they just didn't have the time or resources to dedicate to it anymore, and they were inquiring. They wanted to have somebody acquire the service, and they said that if the company will plan or decide who the buyer is by the end of February 2016, they were in discussions with a few interested parties. As far as I know, nothing has been officially decided as of yet, so I don't know if they're still up for sale. They're still looking for a buyer. Who knows what's going on? But there's a chance that WP Remote could be under new ownership early next year. So if you use WP Remote, I would definitely keep an eye and ear to the ground to find out what's going on here. Because especially if you use it to manage your clients' websites.
True. There are other services out there that do the exact same thing. So it's nothing to set your calendars for February 2016 to find out what happened. We'll tell you, but otherwise it's not anything that's pressing within the community.
And then Nick Haskins, finally, A-Stop Interactive LLC, he put it up for sale, and it was acquired by an anonymous buyer. We don't know for how much, but we do know that the person who purchased it is going to continue on with the products, continue to enhance Editus and A-Stop Story Engine. I have not really paid attention to see what's gone on since the acquisition, so maybe I should look into that. But Nick is, hey, good job for Nick, man. Built a company and built some products, established a user base, and then within, I don't know, what, a year or so, I was able to sell it for a good chunk of change.
And for those of you who maybe didn't catch the first act of Aesop when it came around, what Nick did was he built kind of a theme set and a plugin that, and eventually kind of a self-hosted version too, where you could really put together these really media-rich stories and present it in a really nice parallax way with the nice way that things would fade in. Stuff that you see pretty much as standards now in any of the things like the Wall Street Journal or New York Times or those kinds of things. Nick made it happen as soon as the big boys started doing it, and he did it with WordPress, and so he should really be applauded for developing that.
Absolutely. And one of the biggest stories of the year is that Automatic Unfield, an open source WordPress.com desktop application for the Mac. Now, this was their first sort of desktop application for the Mac, and what they announced is that they've been working on this project named Calypso, which is a totally revamped WordPress.com backend interface or the dashboard where people would write posts and manage their site. Well, they built it using the WordPress.com REST API. So it's all built on React JavaScript, the interface is, but it interacts with WordPress via REST API. So there's no PHP really in this desktop application. So if you're on the Mac, you could just open up the app and it's like you're on WordPress.com, but it's a native experience and it's really quick. It's much faster than if you were using the web version of WordPress.com. And on top of all that, Automatic open source the code and technology behind both Calypso and behind Calypso and the desktop Mac application. So we're still waiting to see how other developers manipulate that code to come up with different alternative uses or interfaces for Calypso. But that was big time news this year in the WordPress community. And now everybody is sort of getting on the Learn JavaScript Deeply train.
Yes, I'm wondering exactly how that can be used, even on the PC version too. So I've yet to get involved in it, but I'm really hoping that it'll be something that I can actually use for client work and, project work and things like that. It'd be great.
And one of the cool things about it is they have a Mac application, a Windows application, and a Linux application, and all three of them have the same exact user experience because they're JavaScript communicating to a REST API. So there's no OS independent sort of UI that you have to worry about, which is, that's a pretty cool thing when you think about it, a unified experience across all three operating systems.
That's great.
That to me is... That's quite the accomplishment.
Yeah, we've come a long way from the Dreamweaver days, haven't we?
Yeah.
It comes full circle. Back to the desktop.
So what's the first thing, some of the first major things in December?
We got something from Yoast in terms of the lessons learned after releasing WordPress SEO 3.0. And that was big because
it's active on more than a million sites.
Yeah, he hasn't learned the lesson that I don't like pop-ups on my dashboard, but maybe that's one to come for 4.0. Who knows? There's a lot to be said about WordPress SEO and what it does and how it's evolved. And it's something that I used to use initially back in the early days, and then I switched to All-in-One. Because All-in-One did more, And then now I'm back to using Yoast's plugin again. And that's just the nature of the development cycle. And another lesson to people out there that you can't really be married to a specific plugin, because certain things evolve, certain things drop off. You've got to be agile when it comes to the makeup of your WordPress installations.
So, and I think we may have talked about this before, but there was data out there that suggests that the average number of years plugins exist before authors stop updating them is 2 years. So, you know,
some of us have sites that are 10 years old on WordPress.
Right. Yeah, so Yoast Evolve just kind of shared some lessons involved with working on a plugin that's used by so many people. And I know SEO, the 3.0 version was a rough release. There were some things in there that weren't caught until after it was released to the public and all its users. They released I don't know how many point releases to address issues. And a lot of people were just sort of fed up with it. And so we came out and said, hey, you know, this is what happened. He apologized. He acknowledged that there is a lack in communication with some folks and some users. So he was just sort of saying, hey, this is what we learned throughout this whole process, and we're going to be better because of it. And hopefully that's the case.
I hope so.
It can't be easy developing and managing a plugin with that's active on more than a million sites. I mean, that's got to be, I don't want to say burdensome, but it's got to be a lot of work, a lot of weight on your shoulders to make sure each release doesn't screw anything up.
Yeah, when you drop the ball, you drop it.
Yeah, no, someone's going to notice when you drop the ball.
Yeah, so that was a good one. And then we had the next story, which is Garrett Moon and Justin Walsh focused on CoSchedule after the Mabu they acquired Today Made.
So Mabu was a development agency, and they acquired Today Made, which was also a development agency that was sort of a company started by Garrett Moon and Justin Walsh. Well, now that that's out of the way, Garrett and Justin can now focus completely on CoSchedule, which is a service that ties into WordPress that helps you do – it's like an editorial service. So it has calendars. It could do editorial posting. You could do collaboration. You can also hook it up to – automatically do social sharing of your post. And it's a service that I've heard from a lot of people have given a lot of great feedback on. So now they'll be able to work on it full time.
That's great. And anything that helps that editorial process and get more content out, the better.
And then we found out, it was kind of a shock to a lot of people, is that Treehouse, education center, dropped support for WordPress education. And the reason for that was they were going to replace it with .NET and some of the other programming languages that were out there. And, you know, I don't know. I think they're gonna do courses now on JavaScript, which I guess kind of makes sense. But, I mean, to just drop WordPress, I don't know. I don't know why you would do that. A lot of other people didn't know either, but you know, that's what they've done. And the person who taught those courses, Zach Gordon, he's kind of out of a job. But as we learned earlier this month, because we're in December, he's actually going to be doing training and courses on JavaScript. So helping people to learn JavaScript deeply. So as one door closes for him at Treehouse, another much wider, bigger door, because of everything that's gone on, opens up for him. So congrats to Zach. I guess it's just things happen for a reason. And, well, I mean, to be teaching about JavaScript right now after what happened at the State of the Word and Matt saying learn JavaScript deeply, I think he'll be better off.
I think he'll be better off big time. And I think Treehouse made a huge mistake, but their loss is our gain. We get to have this amazing JavaScript for WordPress course that I'm going to take day one. Absolutely. If we can all kind of go through that whole thing together. And I think Zach's going to end up being the JavaScript for WordPress guru.
we need all the JavaScript gurus we can get.
Totally.
And earlier this month, of course, WordPress 4.4 Clifford, not named after the red dog, was released featuring responsive images 2016 and more. WordPress 4.4 was, again, a monumental release because it had more than 2,000 commits, and it was contributed to by, let's see the number here because it's a record, 400 contributors. I wonder if 400 contributors could fit on a shirt. I guess it would be front and back.
I don't know. Maybe a wraparound.
Oh, a wraparound. That would be kind of cool.
Yeah, that would be something. That was a lot. That was a lot of people. Maybe just first names. First names.
Well, yeah, or first names or just their username. So you just put all the usernames in a row.
There you go. Yeah.
There you go. And then, that'd be kind of cool now that I think about it. A wraparound shirt with all the contributors for a release.
Yeah, that can maybe do the WordPress logo in text.
So one of the other stories I wanted to highlight this year, because I think this is just really cool, is that the WordPress community came through for a person by the name of Terry Casey, who is the wife of Edward Casey, who works for Next Gen Gallery as a member of the WordPress theme review team and has just been a general overall great member of the WordPress community for a number of years. Well, his wife had a campaign put together because she is battling Hashimoto's autoimmune. It's actually autoimmune with progressive cerebellar ataxia, or what they call HE/SREAT. It's actually a rare disease. It's actually misdiagnosed quite often, but she's battling a lot of ailments because of this. And I mean, just a day in her shoes is really, really painful from all types of aspects. And so she had a campaign started for, she was asking for $2,500, which would help pay for medical devices and treatments needed for her ailment. And it took about a week or two, but the WordPress community got together and she ended up with plenty of time to spare with her $2,500. So, I mean, that was just an awesome gesture on the WordPress community's part. And trust me, she sent me many notes expressing gratitude for not only spreading awareness of what she's going through, but also for obtaining the funds necessary to continue on with her battles. So, I mean, thanks a lot, WordPress community, especially anyone who's listening who may have donated to the cause. Terry is very gracious of all of our support and just another fine example of the WordPress community stepping up to the plate when someone needs them most.
Yeah, that's a great story, and it's tragic that she's got a brain disease like that. And
yeah, basically her immune system is attacking her body. Is pretty much what it is.
Yeah, and that's never a good thing. And so, that's why we call this a community and not a group, because we look out for our own and take care of our own in whatever ways we can, and that's great. It's a great story.
And a couple of days ago, the Tavern achieved an awesome milestone, and that is we published the 30,000 comment. Yes, that's right. 30,000 comments have been published to the site. And I think some of those might be trackbacks, pingbacks from back in the day when those things were turned on. I do believe WordPress counts those as a comment. 30,000, nonetheless, doesn't detract from the milestone. And in an era where a lot of large websites are shutting comments down in favor of social media, I think that's a huge accomplishment. And that's a lot of WordPress conversation on the Tavern since I founded it in 2009. So you're talking about 6 years worth of conversations about all things WordPress, and that's just the comments alone. So a pat on my back, a pat on everyone who's commented on the site's back, and we're going to continue into the future, hopefully establishing those discussions, hosting them on the site, and you definitely won't be seeing us closing down the comment section anytime soon in favor of social media. We love it all. We love the conversation anywhere it is.
Yeah, beat that, Krogs Garden. Not going to happen.
Oh, by the way, happy birthday.
Yeah. Birthday.
One of the last stories, which just kind of happened, actually, and I wanted to bring this up, Marcus, because this leads me to believe that Chris Lum is a fortune teller. And that is Automattic's Word Ads Network is now open to self-hosted WordPress sites. Now, when I saw this, I said, you've got to be kidding me. I said, does Chris Lemma know the future? Did somebody leak this info to him? And was this just a logical conclusion? Because, you know, when we talked to him about it, he said, does JetPack have advertising yet? And you said, wow, I can't believe they haven't done it yet. That's a major money-making opportunity for people. Well,
that's right.
That's what people could do now. So Word Ads is an advertising network that Automattic's been using to display advertising on their sites, similar to how Google Ads works. And they've developed a brand new plugin called Ad Control. Now, what it does is, so it's its own plugin, Ad Control. You use that, but you also use Jetpack. So it ties into Jetpack. And this is why, because it uses the site's unique ID, which is assigned to each Jetpack site to track ad impressions in the back end. It piggybacks on the Jetpack's REST API connection to access some authenticated endpoints in the WordPress.com API, and payout and earning settings are all controlled via Calypso, which we've already told you what Calypso is, and we want a singular, unified experience. So all that stuff makes sense. So I want to clarify that this is not a module. Word Ads is not a module in Jetpack. It's its own plugin, but requires Jetpack for the reasons I just mentioned. I need to make that clarification there because some people are actually pretty confused about that. So back in 2013, Automattic actually paid out around $1 million to Word Ads publishers whose sites delivered 1 billion ad impressions per month. Now, I know Word Ads 2.0 has gone through a complete redesign. You can fill out this application to apply for the program. Your site has to achieve a certain amount of traffic for you to be considered for the program or actually approved. But, Marcus, there you go. I mean, that's I think Chris Lemma is a fortune teller.
Well, that's what you get when you get a Chris Lemma on a WordPress Weekly. We come up with these things that kind of introduce a paradigm shift within the community. I will say, though, it's limited. It's not. I wonder what you can do with retargeting. I wonder what you can do with, you know, some of the other things that we're all used to in terms of how we do paid acquisitions within Facebook and Google AdWords and things like that. So I'm sure it's still got a long way to go. But I wonder if within the REST API, certain things like taxonomy and stuff will be taken into account based on the page that's being shown and then trying to find the most relevant in context ad to show. That would be interesting because then you're taking advantage of metadata on the fly to serve an ad. And that gets crazy, I know. But
yes, so people using Word Ads, they do have limited control over which ads you can display. You can't how they're displayed, but you can't pick certain advertisers. It's not an option. So they try and do their best to maintain high quality advertisers throughout the network, but you can't control specifically what type or who you're advertising on your site.
Yeah, and that's
it's Google Ads with display banners and stuff, but they just call it Word Ads, and apparently the advertising is of much higher quality.
Well, let's see. We'll run it through its paces. This is only news that's available on the Tavern, and it's only a couple days old in terms of the freshness of the story, actually one day old. So we've got a lot of ironing out in terms of Word Ads coming to WordPress.
But if they paid out $1 million to publishers last year, and now that they're opened up to self-hosted, I wonder what that amount's going to be. I wonder if they're going to see the type of adoption and mass display of advertising that is possible now that they've opened it up to millions more websites.
Well, you've got to get that criteria of having at least 1,000 users on your site every month. So that's going to take a lot of WordPress sites out of action in terms of the traffic that they generate, at least the lower tier. But yeah, there's a lot out there as far as the pool. So we'll see what the adoption rate is within the digital marketing community if they want to go this route versus the tried and true tested ways of using things like Google Tag Manager and retargeting and AdWords and Facebook retargeting and all the rest of it.
So that's going to conclude our review of WordPress news and events in 2015.
And yeah, man.
That was a lot to get through.
That was a heck of a year. Jeez. Yeah. Two episodes.
Yeah, it takes two episodes just to get through it all. So there's a lot of stuff happening every day. We're going to continue on the Tavern to give you the coverage you expect, cover all the things that are happening in the WordPress community. Marcus and I will be here throughout the year in 2016 to, of course, give you some of those awesome plug-in picks of the week that he always has. And we're going to bring on a lot of awesome guests onto the show, people you've heard of from before, and also some people you may have never heard from, but we're going to venture into some topics we haven't discussed much on the show, such as mental health, mental wellness, accessibility, maybe physical health, maybe work. Bring someone on who knows how to stay healthy while working remotely, or distributed worker health, you know, a stand-up desk, things of that nature. We're gonna dive into all that stuff, not just WordPress. So we'll have some. If you got some people in mind for any of those topics, send me an email, jeffc@wptavern.com. And maybe try and get me in touch with somebody. That would be great. Other than that, Marcus?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the next year, obviously. And I don't know. Do you want to drop predictions, or do you want to wait till next week? Or
Well, no. I predict that people are going to learn JavaScript deeply. That's an easy one. Yes, I can already say it's fulfilled. In terms of predictions, well, I think Automattic will make at least two, if not three, acquisitions in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that one's probably another given. What else?
I predict a major update to WooCommerce.
Okay, major. Yeah.
Major, because I'm talking like hooking in REST API to start talking to banks and stuff like that. Major.
Well, if that's going to happen, it's probably going to be second half, if not late 2016.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after the REST API is officially added to WordPress and it's had time to breathe.
Yes.
So, I mean, that's definitely one that could certainly happen. I predict the REST API will be completed and added to. Okay, I can't say that because that's obvious. But predictions. I predict the world will end. No, I'm just kidding. Someone always predicts that every year and it never happens. So what the heck? I predict this is going to be another great year. I think we'll have even more WordCamps that we did in the previous year, more meetups. And we're going to see. No, I predict that there will be a WordCamp that happens in the U.S., and it will be their first one, and first one in that state. So there's a couple states in the U.S. that have had zero WordCamps.
Wow!
And I'm gonna go out on a limb and predict that at least one of those states is gonna have a WordCamp this year.
Who's left on that list?
Well, geez, I mean, what? I think there's Montana. It's a lot of Western states, and then Alaska.
Yeah, well, you got to make sure they have internet there. I'm kidding.
One of the major cities.
Yeah.
Man, I would love to go to a WordCamp in Montana. That'd be pretty cool. What?
Yeah.
Like Billings, Montana, I think.
Yeah, do a cattle rustle and then barbecue one of the cattle right there.
Well, oh, jeez. All right. That would be quite the bonding experience. That'd be quite the after party. We're going to need some volunteers to wrestle this cattle.
Yeah, and who else is left on that list? Has there ever been a WordCamp Puerto Rico?
No.
Really?
Not that I know of. Nope.
I love Puerto Rico. I spent about 2 months there one time in my life, and it's awesome. Totally awesome people and U.S. money and all that. So, boy, we should do that. We should do a Puerto Rico version.
That's quite possible. So just from me to you, everybody have a safe, enjoyable, happy New Year's. Thanks for listening to us throughout this year, 2015. It's been a blast. We've had some great times on the show, and we look forward to continue doing it throughout 2016.
Heck yes, man. Wednesday night's my favorite night of the week.
So we'll continue with the first show in 2016 next Wednesday. And there's no guests planned, but you never know. Could be a surprise. But we'll definitely get back to talking about relevant news of the week. And we'll get back to Marcus's plug-in picks of the week. And we'll just start off 2016 on a roll.
Yeah.
So that's going to do it for this show of WordPress Weekly. You can find show notes of this episode and all the other episodes we've done this year and in the past on WPTavern.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at Jeffro. That's JEFFR0. And Marcus?
You can find me at my website, MarcusCouch.com, and on Twitter at MarcusCouch.
So until we meet again for the first show in 2016, everybody have a safe, enjoyable new year. We'll talk to you again next Wednesday evening.